God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I had a much longer introduction planned. Yet your responses to my question about your experience of surrender were many, and not surprisingly thoughtful, courageous, vulnerable, and very deserving of as much time as we could allow this morning. I wish that there were time to share some or all of the parts that you all sent to me. It has been an extraordinary honor to sit with what you all shared. So whether or not your words follow, or even whether or not you sent me a response, I suspect that you will hear yourself reflected. Letting go of what might have been and embracing or even just tolerating what is has been a huge theme for me in the last year, one of you wrote. My health, my marriage, adulthood in general, and specifically in parenting, it has been a challenging year, and facing what is with a neuroatypical kid for whom every day is hard, instead of how I wish they could be or how I wish I could parent. A lot of times it feels like I'm treading water while holding weights instead of being present in the moment. I'm trying to be okay with that. One compact response was indicative of the challenge of our living our all-too-human lives. Two things I have attempted to surrender and still am trying to are thoughts of perfection and likability, as in, I must be perfect. I must be liked. I think I make progress, then hear my thought confirming otherwise. It is an ongoing battle to keep myself sane. Letting go of the illusion of control was written in many of your responses. One of the hardest things for me to do is surrender to the idea that I cannot fix everything. When people I love are hurting and need help, I have a tendency to give all of myself, sometimes to my detriment. Yet forcing myself to let go of others' issues that I cannot control or influence gives me the power and strength to take care of myself and to be more capable of providing help when it is needed or asked for. Not surprisingly, many of you shared what you learned of surrender when someone you loved so dearly died. I surrendered when I got to my husband's body too late to have him die in my arms. His chest was still warm. I could hug him and his warmth a last time, but his nose was already cold. His cheeks cooled. I surrendered to his death. My daughter died in 1980 when she was 14 and a half, another one of you shared. Within a few hours of her death, I realized that if I did not surrender to my grief, I would lose my sanity. I did surrender. No matter what I felt I needed to express or how I needed to express it, no matter how odd the behavior might seem, no matter what social mores I might be violating or how I might be inconveniencing others, I did this. This surrender changed me in ways I could not anticipate, but I eventually came through intact. I am stronger and more complete for having surrendered. Sometimes, though, surrender doesn't happen in the immediate aftermath and needs the tender care and presence of another person. After my husband died and my daughter stopped living with me, I was finally alone. It has been miserable. I have been tempted, distracting myself with almost anything from the feeling of loneliness that comes when I am home and not racing around, food, Netflix, just lying in bed. Then just yesterday, years later, just yesterday when they wrote this, I surrendered. I decided to plumb the depth, go on the ocean floor and walk around. There is a floor, theoretically, after all, and maybe I could walk around on it. So I got someone to listen to me for 5 minutes. I cried and cried. I will not distract myself. I will feel everything there is to be felt. I will not disparage myself for feeling this bad. I will go ahead and surrender to the misery and feel it. Guess what, they write. I feel much stronger today. That's the worst that can happen? A feeling? Come on. So what? Bring it, they write. I have many other more interesting things to do. I am alone, and so what? Like everything else, it's not perfect, not permanent, not personal. I am just fine. Thank you, surrender. Reading your words reminded me that there is an additional kind of surrender that parents of children with special needs face in small and large ways every day. One of you simply wrote, "I surrender the empty nest." Wanting to make sure I understood what they meant, I responded in part by asking if they were saying that their nest would never be empty, because their grown child will never be able to live on their own. "Yes," they wrote back. A tender surrender still in process. One of you shared, "How will our child move through this part of their life? Their addiction to video games and videos, their depression and anxiety, their thinking and chronic no to what the world offers. This surrender is full of pain and desire for them to find some hope underneath their anger and self-hate. I don't find strength in this surrender so much as I find space for my life to continue side by side with theirs. This surrender is taking hours of deep sobs to walk through, but I can tell that making space for them to face their life is making a difference. There is no guarantee about what they will do with this space, and I make it nonetheless." Of course, family relationships were the focus of many of your replies. "My mom is going to die," one of you wrote. "Because my relationship with her was so fraught in my childhood, I've had to let go of many resentments and pain to be able to be the main family member watching over her care. For years, my trip home from where she lives involved me crying to a sibling or a close friend about all the old trauma that had been triggered by the visits. But these days, the triggers have softened and largely disengaged. In that way, surrender has made me more resilient and present in my life." Another of you wrote, "A rough spot in my marriage a number of years ago. when I railed internally at the injustice of my husband's position on a matter that was dividing us. But you said being angry and hurt and right was not helping me feel any better. I remember clearly the first moment I tried a new way about thinking about things. What if he wasn't wrong? What if his feelings and wishes were just as valid as mine? That surrender to what was true for us allowed me to find a path out of the rough spot and something I tried to return to as often as I need to. There is a surrender in giving birth, one of you wrote. My experience with the birth of both of my sons was one of profound surrender that led to joining with them as they emerged from my womb and entered into the wider world. And then, they continue, there is a surrender of sending your children out into the world, really pieces of our heart to be broken again and again. There is both the pain and freedom in accepting that someone else will not accept you. One of you shared, my mother was always a complicated person to live with. I was never entirely certain she did love me, even in a misguided way. By the time I came out, it was painfully apparent that she didn't want to accept the reality of who I was. It never got better, though at times we reached something of an impasse. It hurt to understand that she loved only the idea of the child she wanted and not the child she had. It seemed no matter what I did or achieved or attempted to strive for, it was always overshadowed by her intense dislike of and backlash against my identity. I hoped for a long time that she might change, possibly too long. But you really try honestly to hope when it's apparent. And they conclude, I thought I was at least socially required to keep throwing myself against rocks for this toxic relationship, but the notion that I didn't, while a long time coming, was suddenly and disorientingly freeing. This isn't to say that I didn't stress later and that it made everything always better, but that giving up let me take on a new perspective on myself and a new perspective on my place in this world. For some of you, surrender is a simple matter of trust, which is reflected in two poignant questions you sent. If I surrender and fall, who will catch me? If I surrender and fall down, who will pick me up? Yet another of you wrote of a bit of an easier path. I surrender to life frequently. I get overwhelmed by my fears, regrets, and anxiety, and end up feeling down and doomed on a regular basis, especially in the mornings. But at some point, I see clearly that feeling down or regretful isn't helping me in any way, isn't changing anything for the better. And I'm able to make the decision to accept things as they are and just try to be aware to do my best to keep going in spite of how I feel. The power and the relief of this in that moment when I am able to turn that corner and move beyond my fear and resistance is profound and it is liberating. I recognize that not everyone is able to do this, and I am deeply grateful that I can. It allows me to go forward in spite of my feelings in that moment and has opened me up to a life of joy and gratitude. Like these responses, many of you are dealing with changes in your own health, in your own life. I'm in the process of surrendering to a new reality that age is catching up with me and that my physical condition is deteriorating. However, I'm determined to get the medical help and adjust as needed without giving up those activities that are important to me. I remain optimistic. Another wrote, "My husband and I are working hard to see our upcoming move to North Hill as a challenge and adventure, as opposed to giving up what we currently have. We'll be gaining a new life and environment with fewer responsibilities, far less space, and yet more opportunity to freely interact with other people. The especially unsettling part is letting go of the familiar. Yet most of the time, we are very pleased with our decision." Throughout your responses, one of the things that was true, that your very personal reflections were also so very universal. One of you wrote, "My first response to surrender was my old one. It sounds like giving up. Then I was reminded of the difference between my life and life situations, everything outside myself. I'm learning that life's situations are beyond my control, and the more I resist what is, the less peaceful my life becomes. I'm thinking of the talk you and I had when I was recuperating from a deep depression and needed time and space to rest and just be, which helped me surrender to the process. I gave up resistance and control, and in doing so, gained a new level of acceptance and gratitude for my journey." Surrender can be both a process and a destination. Surrender. I'm learning to surrender to many things. It's hard for me to surrender. I'm a fighter, a worker, and much of my identity for a long time has been wrapped up in what I can do for others. Surrender has not ever been an option. Lately, however, I've been working on surrendering to my own humanity, my own limits and needs that I have too long ignored. Surrendering to my body's need for rest, I sleep more now and sometimes allow myself to rest for a moment on the weekend during the day. Small things. But a joyous surrender to my body's fatigue, and I am more energetic and more available to myself and to others when I do. Surrendering to my joy in the simple act of being, not doing, with my wife and children. Surrendering to the pleasure of connecting in the absence of proving my worth through doing is a relatively new relational act for me. It's joyous and feeds me in a whole new way that is life-affirming. Surrendering to the reality that this world will not heal in my lifetime. Maybe not ever. Oppression in one form or another has always been in this world, and maybe it always will be. Giving up hope for a perfect world, surrendering to the world as it is, allows me new energy to do what I can, where I can, It's not about not helping, they write. It's not about not helping. It's about surrendering to reality as it is so I can help figure out what can be done right now. Surrendering means giving up the myth of perfection. This surrender has helped me take more immediate actions in my life to create the change I want to see because I'm no longer so frustrated and angry that we aren't there yet. There's so much. But thank you all. Thank you for all the ways in which you responded. Thank you for the many ways you are willing to engage deeply and openly with yourselves, with me, and with others. May we each find ways to rest in the grace of the world. May we each find ways to live and love and allow for our own limitations. May we each find ways to love ourselves as fiercely and completely as we love others. Forgive ourselves as we forgive others. May we each tread gently over the tender path of our very human, very imperfect lives. May it always be so. Amen, and blessed be. Please rise.